Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. Angel, Mike, and I, we come here and answer questions that you have sent in, and we've got a ton of them. And we don't ever get to all of them, but we get to a lot of them, and we try to group them together and make sure we answer what seem to be the biggest concerns of everybody. So we appreciate your questions, so we're going to try to answer as many as we can today. So, Angel, we said we just jump in.
All righty. Joe, Mike, I've noticed that there are times when my wife and I both seem to be at an emotional low and super touchy. Usually those times don't overlap or happen at the same time, but on occasion the stars align and we are both being really touchy and hard to live with. Is this normal, and how do you shake yourself out of it? When it does happen, it seems we can hardly stand each other, and I hate it.
The Bible calls it sins of the flesh. I got them, you got them, all God's children got them.
This never happened to me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, everybody's got flesh, and it just sometimes you run out of nice stuff.
Well, let me just say, Joe and I got stuck in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the airport, and I kept saying to Joe, I think we need to go rent a car. He's like, no.
Well, let me interject just 30 seconds. When she says, let's go rent a car, it's 8.5 hour drive to where we're going.
And we had to be there the next morning.
I said, listen, I'd rather ride on a plane.
And we're going from North Carolina to New Jersey.
All the way up through Washington, D.C., all the way up the coast.
So anyway, they shut down the whole airport. The flights were canceled.
They did.
And so got like the last three. There's three rental cars left when we finally got
buddy,
over there.
God was good to me that
so
night.
We didn't have any luggage or anything. We take off. And we both have felt exactly like this question says.
And I love you. Well, I love you too.
It was a rough drive. And
We were really nice.
Pockets
of niceness.
Yeah. So we got there, like, we drove all night long, got there, like, at 7 in the morning. Oh. Joe had to preach at 9.
Yes.
Ooh.
And, it was a tense. So we don't talk about the fruit of the Spirit very much
it's very real, though.
In our circles.
Yeah.
But it is true. And it's something that we need to work on developing. And there was a perfect opportunity to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our life.
Son, I'm looking for an orchard. We need a big orchard. Where's that orchard at? Everybody goes through it, guys. Everybody has times and moments where one of it runs out of juice, one of it runs out of nice words. Sometimes it's better to go take a walk around the yard. You know, go out and sit under a tree somewhere, go sit on the back porch. Or
sometimes I just say, Joe, you might need to go to your office for just a little while.
Yeah, or go to your office. That works that works great for us.
Yeah.
I've noticed that it seems like there's times where it's like it's extended. Like this is not just one afternoon.
Yeah.
But it seems like for an entire week.
We've got the measles. Something's
happening. Yeah, I mean, for an entire week, it seems like things are like really stressed. And it's like. And then when that time goes away, it's like back to normal and everything else. But everybody goes through that time where you're like, you're just like, okay, I'm done. Not like done like the D word, like divorce or anything. Yeah. But I'm just like, you're fed up. But most of the time, there's so much underlying stuff between you and your spouse when that kind of stuff's happening. And typically it's never, you know, like some of the people who are the most afraid are the people who will come across as the cockiest, trying to cover it up. People a lot of times will show something that's the exact opposite of what they're going through.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, well, almost every single time where you're at, you know, it seems like your relationship is stressed and it's happened for like you've been going for 10 days now and – you know, I hate this type of thing. Not that I don't hate the person, but there's usually something behind that.
Every time there's something going on, and even Jesus went through this. Even Jesus got wore out. Even Jesus said, guys, somebody carry me in the boat. He was trying to leave earlier that day, but he ended up preaching 3 sermons, ministered to who knows how many people, laid hands on people, cast out devils, healed people, and he is so wore out. The guys had to carry him down into the belly of the boat, and Jesus passed out. He's passed out in the belly of the boat. They're trying to get across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. Storm breaks out. They think they're going to drown. They wait, and Jesus said, Lord, don't you care we're going to drown? And he comes up out of a dead sleep, and all he says is, peace, be still. The storm stopped, and then he criticized his apostles. Guys, why don't you take care of this yourself? Even Jesus, look, what you wake me up for? You should have taken care of this yourself. Well, that's the Son of God. You know, love God, made the universe, holds everything together by the power of his words. Even God got a little chappy like, why didn't you take care of this yourself? So it happens with the best, guys. It happens with the best of people.
Remember when they couldn't cast the demon out of that kid? The disciples couldn't cast the kid, cast the demon out of the kid, and they came to Jesus. And it's like, why didn't you cast him out? And they, you know, he goes, why couldn't we cast him out? He asked them later, but it's like when the guy said, you know, excuse me, the father came and said, they've tried to cast him out of my son, and the demons are still there. Can you help me? And Jesus was like, how long should I put up with this?
That's right. It's in your Bible.
No, he said, how long should I suffer thee? How long am I going to be with you? You know,
when you gotta get this?
So, but he's hacked off. He's like, how long am I gonna put up with this? Bring him here. You know, and that's how, I mean, he's put out.
Yep.
He's put off. But, you know, everybody thinks that Jesus said everything. Like, no, he's just like you and me. He's like, dear Lord.
How many times Jesus said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times he said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith.
He'd had
it. Oh, ye of little faith. Over and over. He's criticized. He's getting, come on, guys, you gotta get this. Even the best relationships get strained, guys.
Yes, that is true.
You have any comments, ma'am? Give us a woman's view on this.
I mean, we all have the ability. God's given us all the ability to correct that.
Yep.
I remember one time I was at a job, and somebody was trying to take somebody else's job, and it was a very underhanded thing. They were doing a lot of stuff, and it was actually against my husband, and they were going against him. Well, he was out of town, so the boss is mad, and he's furious, and he needs a face, so he calls me in, and he's going to let me have it. And I don't even know what he's talking about. And so he's mad, and he's just going. And I'm starting to buck up and get a little bit mad, too. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, well, I'm fixing to let him have it right back. And then the Holy Spirit came on me. It was like a cloak. It really was. And I got real quiet, and I just let him say the same thing over and over again. And then he said, you got something you want to say? And I said, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Obviously, we've done something to offend you, and I want to apologize for that because you've been very, very good to me. And I don't want to do that. And whatever, when my husband gets back, we'll do whatever we can to make this right with you. And it immediately changed.
Took the air out of the bag.
Changed everything, yeah. And he changed completely. It turned everything around, and it was just amazing. So,
walk in love.
A soft word will turn away wrath.
I was about to say that. A soft word will turn away wrath. You'd be amazed. I can't remember. I'm going to slaughter this, but there was, I can't remember, it was Tony Cook or somebody that said something like, an excuse will bring wrath, but taking responsibility will bring mercy. Something like that. But
mercy,
I mean, it was more elegant than that. But the thing is this, like in that situation, if you'll just stop, a lot of times you just take responsibility, even if it wasn't 100% your fault. Take the responsibility.
Yeah.
You've preached about that a million times. Like people, man has this thing in him where we're trying to escape responsibility. Happened from Adam, Eve tried to escape it, and you've taught that a million times. But it's like if you'll take responsibility and say, you know what, like you said, you know, obviously we've offended you, and we don't want to do that. You've been good. Man, you just unloaded that gun for him and put the gun on the table for him. And there's because there's nothing. But I tell you what, if you well up, you get your back up on something like that.
Which I started
You're going
to
get
this
the wrath.
Gets you this.
You're going
to
get the wrath. But our pride, well, bless God, this or that. And stuff. We're pride, well, you'll pay for it.
Pride goes before a fall, guys.
Yep, exactly.
Scoop dirt with your lower lip. You don't want to do that.
All right. My husband and I are trying to get our finances under control. Is it better to start getting money into savings, or is it better to pay off credit cards? If savings is the answer, how much should we put away before we're focusing on the credit cards?
Well, the best Christian financial teachers in America tell you ought to get 10% in the savings. What it takes you to live every month, every year, get 10% set aside for emergencies. until you get 10% of your annual income in a bank, you don't need to pay off anything because you were broke. So if you're asking me, I'd say pay the minimum on every credit card that you can. If you can get away with $10 a month, do that until you can get 10% of your annual income in the bank somewhere. And that may take a year, might take longer, might take 6 months. I don't know what it's going to take. Get some money set aside. Until you do, you're running on the edge. And if somebody blinks wrong, if they lay off at work, if you get a flat tire, if the transmission falls out, you up a creek without a paddle. So let's start doing what's right. You know, set something aside. It's biblical to set something aside.
And if you're going to pay a little extra on credit cards, I think to pay a little bit extra on one card and focus on one card and get that paid down and then go to the next one. Joe has a great book called Family Finances, Making and Managing Money. And it's actually a workbook that you can take. Yeah. You can get it at joemcgee.com. It's actually very good.
We have the audio of that, too.
Got the audio,
We have DVDs, I believe, still.
That thing's loaded.
Yeah, and I think you can download the audio series.
Well, we wrote that book coming out of being broke. I mean, what inspired you to write that book? Well, I've been broke twice in my life. And the second time I realized, evidently, I don't know anything, and I need to get some knowledge. So I spent months sitting at my desk going through all the scriptures about money, debt, income, increase. I looked them all up, and I put it in a book. That God knows what to do. Listen, Satan is the god of this world system. He steals, he kills, he destroys. You cannot function the way this world functions. You got to function different. We're from a different place. We're going home to a different place. We think different. So God's got wisdom as to what to do. And so, you know, read the book. It's real good. Real common sense.
Yeah, JoeMcGee.com. Just go to Joe McGee's store or JoeMcGee.com. Go to the top of the page and it says store and family finances book. And look for the audio.
Okay, I was brought up in church where we did unspoken prayer requests. Our current pastor said that unspoken prayer request isn't scriptural, and an unspoken request was going to result in an unanswered prayer. Is that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Bible's very clear. That's when Jesus said 8 times in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. You got to ask. There's no unspoken request. Well, God knows what I'm thinking. Yeah, but he needs you to ask. Jesus said, Jesus who made the universe holds together by the power of his word, says, you need to ask. You have not because you ask not. There's no unspoken request. That doesn't work. No unspoken request is going to be answered.
Yeah, they did a lot when I was growing up in church.
Well, it sounds real spiritual.
Well, it does sound spiritual. And the thing is this, we're like, well, I asked. I just want someone to agree with me. Well, the Bible says, in fact, I wrote this down. It said in Matthew 18:19. It says, if two of you or more shall agree as touching anything that they'll ask by my Father which is in heaven, I'll do it for you. But the thing is this, two of you have to agree.
Here it comes.
And how can you agree? You go, hey, listen, I've got this unspoken request. Will you agree with me?
It ain't gonna happen.
What if the person's believing for somebody else's wife?
Right.
So you don't know what person's believing. It's like you need to find out. There's no way that you can just say an unspoken. People can pray for you. Yeah, Lord, I just pray for them. But you're not going to get answers that way.
Pray for what?
Right, yeah. You need to, if I don't publicly getting in and telling everybody what you're believing for, I don't necessarily think that's the answer.
No. Nope.
It'd be better to find 2 or 3 people that you can actually believe with.
Or start with one.
One person that you think, you know what, I believe that if they pray that I believe and we agree together it's going to happen. Do that. Having one person in agreement with you is better than doing an unspoken prayer request with 15,000 people.
Well, and we've heard it. Listen, we've been in church. All of us have been in church our whole life. And we've had these things come up where somebody's telling everybody, hey, can you agree with me? Can you agree? And they're blabbing what they're going through to everybody under the shining sun. Nothing's going to happen. You're just a billboard looking for stupidity to happen.
Gossip.
Yeah, gossip. So what you want to do is find one strong believer that can agree. And you got to be honest. Hey, I'm trying to restore my marriage. We're going through a mess. Can you believe God with me? Here. And the Bible says the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. So whatever I'm believing for, I need at least 3 scriptures. Has God promised this? Because God hasn't promised this. It's not going to happen. I don't care what you feel, how bad you hurt. It's not going to happen if you can't find at least 3 scriptures in the Word of God. It's not the will of God. So God watched over his word, not my hurt, not my injury, not my sin. God watched over his word to perform it, not me. So I got to present God's word to him. So get some scriptures. Then get somebody, hey, can you agree with me? Here's the three scriptures I'm standing on. And somebody, I've done it before, somebody, well, Joe, that's not biblical, those two scriptures you got in there. One's good, but the other two aren't. You're kidding. No, you've taken them out of context. What do I do? Well, that's where I learned before there was an iPhone, you know, they had a concordance. I started looking stuff up. Well, what does this word mean? And what does this scripture mean? And who was talking, who they're talking to, and what was it about? So you got to get where you're so sure about that scripture, nobody can make you doubt. No, I know what God said. I know what I'm believing. Because when you start believing God, hell's going to show up in force. The Bible says when the word comes, the devil comes immediately to steal that word. Hell's coming after your faith. The minute you start going after something, hell's going to show up. I've heard so many people say, man, when I got born again in Spirit-filled, all hell descended on me. So welcome to the family of God, brother. You know, get your armor on. Get your shield up. Start believing God. There's no shortcut to this thing. But God will show up. But find just one person. You know, hey, can you agree with me? They'll say, yeah. Well, here's the scriptures. You think that's right? Yeah. Now you got some momentum. I got a person that's agreeing with me. We're standing on these three scriptures. And God will watch over this performance.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget, you can get Joe's book online at joemcgee.com. Share us with your friends.
That went too quick.
It seemed like that. It was fast.
Yeah. At any rate, we'll see you guys next Monday.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.